Praise God. Well, get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to probably the book of Proverbs this morning, chapter 4, was a little start. First scripture I'll give you. Thank you. But because we've had some guests in, and I haven't been preaching the last couple of Sundays, let me just catch you up where we are. I don't want to spend a lot of time reviewing. You know, you can always go to thewaterhole.net, click on the YouTube link, find the message you missed and listen to it and get it all there. So, but I preached a message called The Hoper, not The Hopper. I'm not selling dish, whatever the thing is, or the recorder. I'm not selling hoppers, I'm selling hopers. The Hoper. There's a difference between somebody that's walking in faith and somebody that's walking in hope. Hope is a good thing. Hope is a nice thing. Hope is pretty. Hope gives you a smile for the future, but faith gets you there. Can I have any better amen than that? Amen. Listen, you can sit around all your life and want to walk, go to the Grand Canyon. You're going to want to see the Grand Canyon. You can talk about the Grand Canyon. You can learn about the Grand Canyon. You can go get on the internet. You can find out all about going on the little donkeys down below into the Grand Canyon. And you can go find out all about how long it took to make and all this and that and the other and whatever. Like, it's all, just get it all great. But until you go, get in your car or fly or however you get there and do something about it, you're not going to personally see it. Faith has action to it. Faith means that something is propelling you from within that's causing you to walk in a direction that you believe is right. That's faith. Hope is like, oh, it's going to be so nice someday. Hope is always futuristic. Faith is now. If you want to ask yourself if what you're standing for and believing is in hope or in faith, find out, is it now or are you looking to the future? All right. So I want to take off. I gave you, we're talking about faith and I've preached on this. The first thing you have to realize is that you can produce faith according to Romans 12:3. We talked and I did a whole message on that. Second thing is you have to learn that you had to be at Jesus' feet. I talked about Martha and the distractions of life that take us away. Listen to me, church. The world is being hoodwinked right now. I don't know. I believe that things are worse now than when I was a kid. I don't know when I was a kid. I don't know what it was like during the Cuba Missile Crisis. Okay? I know it must have been fairly scary because I know that my father attempted to put a bomb shelter in. I wouldn't have gone in it. I think it was a diesel tank that had been leaking, you know, that they filled up with water and cut a hole in the top of it or something. You know, it was pretty rinky-dink. But it was there when I was a kid growing up. There was this little deal that, you know, there was no stairs going down into it. You like had to jump down in the hole. I mean, it was pretty rough. But I always have thought about that. So something concerned my father enough that he did something. So, I mean, you know, the Russians are sitting off on Cuba or getting ready to try to put missiles and stuff. You know, it was a pretty intense moment, right? And I'm not saying about the things, the events going on in life, but I see the world as completely numb, gone stupid, and totally, completely apathetic to the things of life. And what really irritates me more than anything is Christianity is getting bashed more and more and more and more. All right? And I'm shocked. I'm dumbfounded. Okay? But there's two people in life. I guess there's more than two people, but I'm saying there's two people. There's the people that in the midst of a crisis are the deer in the headlights. You know, just go. And they usually get either run over or shot. Hello? And then there's those people that when crisis comes, they're thinking. They're already prepared for it. All right? And I don't want y'all to be the people that are like deer in the headlights. I want you guys to be the people that are on the cutting edge. You're ready. Your sword is sharp. You know the word. The word is a part of you. The word is your life. You're walking in faith. You're not just walking in hope. You're walking in faith. You're tackling life's adventures. You're walking out and looking at the face of adversity and saying, "You want a piece of me?" You want a piece of me? Now, I was blessed in life to, you know, my raising, my genetics, my whatever, however you want to look at it, you know, I wasn't a bully, but I certainly knew how to talk trash. I was blessed with it. And I, from the earliest days of my life, could look at a person and say, you know, you don't want to mess with me, and convince them they didn't want to. Now, I'm not bragging on that like I want to go get in a fight, but I'm just saying to you, I fight the devil just like that. That is the way I attack every day. That's the way I look at the face of adversity. That's the way when things don't go right in my life like I want them to, that I get out of hope and into faith. I stand up and I look at it and I say, man, you do not want to go toe-to-toe with me. You do not want to go toe-to-toe with me. I will tear your kingdom down. You're messing with the wrong person. I make the devil pay when he messes with me. Because I am going to use my faith as a sword, and I'm going to attack whatever comes at me. Now, Proverbs 4:23 says, to keep your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart spring forth all the issues of life. So whatever you get sown into your heart, whatever you truly start believing and operating, whatever comes into your paradigm of your world that you let affect you is how you're going to operate in life, church. And there's too many people walking around today that do not really truly know what they believe. I just read an article where the Pope, the new Pope, came out and said that people that have a good conscience can get to heaven too. And I'm like, no, they can't. That's not what the Bible says. I believe the Bible's true. What are we now, deviating from the Word of God? We say, well, you know, oh, Joe, he was a good guy. Oh, Joe can be a good guy and go to hell. I got a new message coming up. It's called, I got it from our president. I wanted to use something from him. It's called The Thin Red Line. But I'll be coming out preaching here pretty soon. But you just can't deviate off this stuff. You can't let this... Listen to me, folks. Don't get hoodwinked. I am clinging to my Bible and my guns. I believe the Word of God's true. You're not going to take it from me. Come on, it's time for us to slap down our Bibles and say, look, I am a Bible-believing Christian. I believe it from the front to the back. The book of maps might be wrong, but that'd be about it. Are y'all with me? It's time that we rise up in our faith and we stand up and we say, wait a minute, it's in my heart and this is what's in my heart and I believe this to be true, so you're going to have to deal with me. I'm sorry. I'm not changing. I'm not moving. You see, when you get into a place like that, now that's what's really in your heart, and you can't be swayed, now you're beginning to walk in faith. Listen, if the devil can talk you out of what you're believing God for, he will win. He'll win. I really dislike the yabbits, the what ifs, you know, but you know, I hate that stuff. Because I'm going to tell you something, when you get into wishy-washy, marshy area of your life where you're not standing upon the rock, what happens to you is you begin to lose heart. And when you lose heart, because all of the issues of life spring forth from the heart, you then are split, you're divided. You're going to be like the, as James said, the waves tossed on the sea, and you're going to have no direction of where you're going in life. Hello. Look at the person starting to say, God, I just love it when pastors preach. Y'all didn't do it. Go to John 9. I'm just getting started. I'm just getting wound up. I'm stirred up this morning. Amen. You know, I've been wrestling and fighting with the radio station. Can't get the radio station to play the messages. And I begin to think there was a conspiracy out against me. And, of course, that's only, you know, I would think something like that. And anyway, I was about to call fire down on the whole place, but this morning I was on the radio. I was so happy. I was on the radio, and I was preaching that message about carnal thinking, and I was talking to man. I was just throwing punches left and right, and I was like, come on, preach it. Yeah, oh my God, preach it. And I said, oh, I did preach it. Okay, well, this is great. There's a story here in John chapter 9, starts in verse 1, and we got to read through this thing, but I was reading this, and this is like just a world opened up to me, and I'm going to show it to you. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. And his disciple asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, as I go through this story, I'm going to stop and pause because I want you to see some things. When you read your Bible, you've got to read your Bible and really look at what's being done. Don't read it like it's a book. You got to kind of like see the scene. All right? So here's these disciples. Now, you got to understand something. These disciples are not technically religious people because they'd just been traveling with Jesus. They were fishermen, you know, they were tax collectors. They weren't like learned, scholared, pharisaical people, right? So where'd they get the thought that this guy's got to have sinned in order for him to be born blind? Where'd it come from? Came from their mama or their daddy or their learning or their synagogue or their whatever. Framed in them the mindset that because something bad has happened to this man, their parents must have sinned, and they were punished by the kid being born blind. Y'all see that? That's their thinking. Y'all with me? Y'all looking at me funny? That's what they said. I didn't say it. I'm just reading it. Jesus answered, said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Now just stop right there for a second. Jesus, neither one of them sinned. Don't you know they're like, I guess we're thinking wrong, huh? Jesus got these guys around him, and I mean, really, they had some issues. And he picked them. And he's like, you got wrong thinking. Stinking thinking. Right? You got some wrong thinking about this, guys. You're just sitting there, you judge this guy, you judged his parents right off the bat. Somebody sinned because the guy was born blind. Jesus said, nobody sinned. But the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And when he said these things, he spat on the ground. He made clay of the saliva. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he sent him and he washed and he came back seeing. Now, stop for a second here. Because I'm talking about what's in your heart. I'm talking about what really is in you. How are you going to act? How are you going to react? Here's these disciples, and they've already said, this guy must be a sinner. His parents were a sinner because he's born blind. They've already put themselves into a mindset because that's what came out of their heart. Ugliness. They're already in judgment. They're getting religious. They're getting, you know, a bad attitude. And here's the blind man. He's just a blind man. And so Jesus, he tells him what to do, and he just says, okay. Do you know how hard it was for the blind man to get to the place? And besides this fact that I could go into it, because I've gone into it before, about, you know, the spit and the mud and the eyes. And I mean, come on. Pretty gross. Pretty strange. Right? So the guy's just obedient. He just goes and he does it. And he goes down and he washes the pool. He's never seen. Now listen to me here. He has never seen. He's heard the wind blow through the trees, but he's never seen a tree. Think about this. His world as he knows it has always been black and whatever he felt and whatever he imagined it to be. but he's never seen it. Are you with me? That's freaky. He's lived in a world that everybody else takes for granted what they see, and this guy's never seen it. He knows what bread tastes like, but he's never seen a loaf of bread. Only with his hands going over it and imagining it, only with his hands over it, you know, and feeling its shape and its texture could he say, oh, well, that's bread. But he couldn't identify it. So if there was a loaf of bread sitting there, he'd say, what's that? What's a loaf of bread? Really? I know what a loaf of bread tastes like. I've never seen one. Are y'all with me here? Just come on, get into this thing for the minute. Just imagine what it would be like. You've heard a dog bark. You've petted a dog, but you've never seen a dog. You've never seen color. All right? You've never seen your parents, because they come in the scene just a minute. And all of a sudden, a world is kaboom, open up to him. And he's looking out there and he's like, wow, what is that color? Well, that's what we call red. Oh, red. I like red. Looking at the blue sky. His world is just open up to him. Listen to me. That's what happens to you when you get out of your worldly thinking and your paradigm of your world living in hope, and you finally step into faith, and faith begins to open up a world to you. You're like, I've read about Jesus and about healing, but I never really saw it or experienced it or understood it. I've read about it in the Bible, but now it's another world, because all of a sudden you're operating because your heart is beating and pounding the faith and the promises of God. And all of a sudden things are coming alive and are real to you. You're not just dead meatloaf. Okay, let me tell you my meatloaf story. I love meatloaf, all right? But meatloaf is worthless. Worthless! The most worthless meat you could ever cook in your life without ketchup. If there's no ketchup, who could eat meatloaf? It would just be a blah meat that has no, it's not a patty. Hello? It's got to have the ketchup. All right? Your Christian life could be just like the blah blob of meatloaf. And the faith working in your life and you seeing the miracles of God and things being real to you. Oh my gosh, all of a sudden now the world is open to you and you're seeing things like you've never seen before. I remember when I got saved, I made Jesus the Lord of my life, and I had been raised in church, but when I got saved and made Jesus the Lord of my life, the world of faith opened up to me. That's the first time I stepped in there and I saw with my eyes, the eyes of faith. And all of a sudden I was so excited, and I was just going to these people that I always believed were Christians and talking to them, and they're like, oh, yeah, well, you know, it's okay. You know, wear off after a while, and you'll just be like us. And I'm like, oh, God, help me. I don't want to. I remember reading the Bible, and it just leaping off the page. And said, I can't believe this is what it says. And the world opened up to me. That's just like that blind man. His world opened up to him, but he was seeing the natural world, which we take for granted every day. When you enter into faith, when your heart beats and pounds for faith, you see things differently. You see things differently. Okay, so let me go on. So, therefore his neighbors... Okay, let's see. Where was I stopping? So he said to him, go wash in the pool. Okay, so he went and he washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors of those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? And some said, this is he. And others said, he is like him. And he said, I am he. Okay, now they're arguing about who he is. He's trying to say, it's me. They're like, well, you look like him. No, it's me, stupid. I sit here right here every day. I see you. And they're like, well, you look like him, but I don't know. You know, kind of change about it. And he answered and he said, they said unto him, how were your eyes open? And he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went to the and washed and I received sight. Then they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." They brought him to him who was formerly blind to the Pharisees. Now we've gone to the religious people. The people who study the Bible, the people who can quote it forwards and backwards, the people that know whatever verse says, the people that should know God from reading their Bibles. Right? And he said, so the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and it washed and I see." Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." Okay, now. All right. The reason we read our Bibles is so that we can see this great God that we serve and see him moving in life, and then you come to understand if it's God or not. Are y'all with me? Let me just try to make an example up here. Everything that's going on in life, I judge by the Word of God. Okay? So if a person said, "Hey man, we were drilling a well and water started coming up, and everybody that drinks of that well gets instantaneously healed." And we all believe it's God. So we've dug a pool. Now all the sick people are going and hanging around the pool and they're waiting to be healed. And I would go over there and say, "Okay, guys, all you sick people sitting around here waiting for the waters to stir, you got to know about Jesus. Jesus is your answer." Jesus is the one they said, "We don't want to know about Jesus." I would say, "Hey, wait a minute, this isn't God." When I would judge it, I'd look at it and say, "This isn't really bearing fruit. This isn't God. This is something hocus pocus. This is something not right." Because if you know the Word of God, you can know if it's of God. The great deception going over the United States right now, trying to go over the world, is that we have to accept everybody for who they are, and that's a good thing to do. That's a Christian thing to do, is accept everybody for who they are, and nobody needs to change, and we just need to accept them all. But have you all noticed that nobody wants to accept us? Huh? I'm like over here on the side saying, "Okay, if we want to accept everybody, you have to accept me." "No, we want to accept you because you're not nice. You believe the Bible's true and all that stuff else. You say it's not right, and so we don't like you." But you just said we're supposed to be nice to everybody. So like, something's fishy. Something ain't right. This is not a movement of God. Are y'all with me? See, you can judge everything by it. The Pharisees of that day should have been smart enough to have read their Bible, reading the Old Testament, to have known God. But immediately, no one has pointed out to these guys that a great deed has happened. A man got his eyesight back. They're like, "He healed on the Sabbath." I mean, it's just like, it causes me to just want to scratch my head and say, "What? How could you have come?" But you see, this is what was in their heart. They had read the Bible for so long and become so legalistic in their belief system that legalism was carrying over. And so they believed they were looking only at the side of God that had stated about the law and had been very legalistic about the writing of the law, the keeping of the law, like this, and they just majored on that, but they never saw God in it. Folks, listen to me. We have got to have faith with eyes of faith that are opened up, that we can see God in who he is moving throughout the world, because he's still moving. But the Pharisees only saw what they wanted to see. They judged Jesus instantly. "He can't be of God. He healed on the Sabbath." But do you know that they had all kinds of ways around the laws of the Sabbath so that they could get done the work they wanted to get done and the things that they wanted to get done? They had all kinds of little tricks and little things that they could say. Because you remember when Jesus went and rebuked them all? You can go read down through there. I think it's Matthew 23. Go read down through there about the things. They had all these little tricks. So in other words, it wasn't really about healing on the Sabbath. They were just mad because Jesus did it and they didn't. Because the real issue of the heart was they just didn't want Jesus to look more spiritual than them. Because if he looked more spiritual than them, then he might take away from them. And I bet you if you cut right down to the chase, it was about money. They were worried that he might start a big church and then they'd be making all the money and then they wouldn't get as much money. Because it's always about the money. All right. So he says, this man is not of God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others says, how can this man who's a sinner do such things? Now see, they're judging Jesus a sinner. Who said he's a sinner? I mean, you can go make atonement for your sins. So he broke the law on the Sabbath. He's going to go offer a turtle dove or whatever. Okay. And so there was a division among them. So they're arguing about this point, but they're not arguing about it like this is of God. They're arguing about which one's he guilty of. Folks, there's a lot of Christians today spending so much time arguing about the little doctrinal things and this and that and the other that they're missing God moving in life. They're missing the whole thing because they're blind. They can't see. It's got all over them. Folks, the worst thing that can happen to you in your life is you become blind and not be moving in your faith and seeing God move. Because then you just become meatloaf without the ketchup. You're just a blob there. And nobody wants to eat of you. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes. And he said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind, received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? And how then does he see? Now see, and his parents answered and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but what means he now sees we do not know, or who opened his eyes we do not know. For he is of age, ask him, for he will speak of himself. And his parents said to those things, they because they feared the Jews, for the Jews agreed already that if anyone confessed that Jesus was Christ, he'd be put out of the synagogue. Now here you go, a couple of parents. I mean, sorry dogs. You would have thought that they would have been jumping up and down, screaming and hollering, whooping and hollering, whoo, my son sees, look at his face, ah! But they were concerned about what was going to happen to them and their church status. Listen to me. When your eyes are opened and the faith of God truly comes into your life and you begin to operate like that, I want to tell you something, your church status may be hurt. But I'm talking to the renegades here this morning that most of y'all are in here because you've already received the left foot of fellowship. But there's some that's listening, and you may be experiencing it. I mean, it's amazing when I first got saved, how that when I was excited about the things of God, how everybody said, oh, Robert, you know, you need to chill out. And I'm like, chill out. I would have loved to see the video of this scene, that because I had just gotten saved. We hadn't been saved a couple of months, and all my friends called me up, and they're having a big beer drinking party, and we went over there and sat down, and they offered me a beer, and I said, no, I don't. I'm drinking iced tea today. I just don't want to drink a beer. And we're sitting around there just talking and going on, and everybody's looking at me like, something's up with Robert. Is he going to freak out here in a minute or what? And so finally, I remember sincerely from my heart, because this is the only friends I had in the world. And I was hungry for Jesus, and I sincerely was wanting some information, and I asked the guys that all sitting around, and I said, hey, listen, do any of y'all know anything about Jesus? And I remember it was like the silence of the death angel had just walked in. And everybody looked at me like, oh, God. And I remember everybody just kind of like, slowly, one by one, getting up from their chairs and walking off and then getting in a huddle to figure out what they were going to do with me. And I'm like, no, serious, guys. I mean, I was honest. I was just like, man, I mean, did y'all know Jesus is really real? I mean, I was reading the Bible the other night, and I mean, he was really real. But do y'all know anything about him? Because, I mean, I never learned anything. I wasn't listening when we were in church. And so, can anybody help me here? And they're like, man, you're freaking out. And my best friend the time took me aside, took me out, took me in, said, we need to go out in the pasture, you know, get away from everybody. And took me out a little drive and said, man, are you insane? What's the matter with you? Have you lost your mind? Has the pressure of everything gotten to you and you flipped out? I was like, no, man, I'm so excited. I feel like, I think it's called born again. I mean, I feel like I'm a new person. And they're like, oh, God. He's lost his mind. Because, see, you can be just that nominal Christian, going to church and have your little status and go through the doors and get your little certificate, letter. Come into church on Sunday morning, go to the service, choose which service you want to, early morning, you know, mid-morning, late morning, whatever you want to work around yourself, because, you know, you wouldn't want to be inconvenienced going to church. Oh, heaven forbid. I mean, we might say it's easy for everybody because nobody would really want to have to go out of their way to go worship the awesome, all-living God who's going to touch your life and open up a revelation to you and mend your broken heart and heal your sickness and deliver you. Oh, you know, heaven forbid. People act like it's a chore to go to church. I don't know how many times I'm so sick of it. Guy saw me this the other day. He, you know, because I've heard, man, we'd love to come to your church. Y'all's church is alive, exciting. Hear all these great things of a church. You know, it's just so far. And I said, I don't want you. Oh, you should have seen their face. I said, I don't want you, man. If you can't even if you're not even faithful enough to drive 40 miles, well, I don't want you. So we don't need you in church. I don't need a problem. Stay over there and suffer and quit calling me. Being Nicodemus and coming to me by night. Just get on. I'm just getting old and cranky in life, you know? So I could keep trying to convince myself, my wife about, you know, there is a part of Jesus where he kicked over tables and got a whip and went to whacking and flailing. And I relate more to that than I do the stroking the lamb. So his parents here, they don't want to get kicked out. So they're worried about their church status. Because, see, faith isn't alive in them. It's not emanating from their heart and their life, and they're saying, hey, man, this God of glory has moved on my son, and he's healed. Thank you. We've been praying about this forever. Woo! Got an answer to our problem. They're worried about church status. So they go back to the guy. The blind man. And they said, he's of age, ask him. So again, they called the man who was blind and said to him, give God glory. We know that this man's a sinner. And he answered and said, now, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. In other words, the blind man's not even going to get into judgment. You follow me? They're saying, look, give God glory, but this man's a sinner, talking about Jesus. And the blind man said, man, I don't know he's a sinner. I ain't going to get into judgment. This blind guy is so wise. This blind guy right here knows more about God than the Pharisees have ever in their lives even gotten hold of. Where did he learn it, I wonder? I don't know. There's nothing in the scriptures that really tell us, but somewhere in his blindness, sitting on the side of the road of life begging, he found God, and he knew God, and he knew what God, how God would act, how God would work, and what God would do in life for him. He knew it. He gathered all of that, not in the seminary, not in the synagogue necessarily, not in the great teachings where the Pharisees and the Sadducees were getting all their stuff. Somewhere, faith had opened up in this man's life because Romans 12 says everyone's born of the measure of faith. We didn't just get it. It was always there. And this guy had faith operating. Something, and maybe it was because when you're in the state that he was in, blind from birth, he was just, I'm not going to say raised different, but he developed different. How about that? And in his development of maybe needing to be dependent upon people, that he had no pride. I'm just throwing this out. You know, wouldn't want to accuse anybody of having pride. Folks, pride will keep you away from God faster than anything. And pride being, not that you're proud to be from Texas, Sorry to say proud to be an American, but I just changed that and said, proud to be from Texas. What country are you from, sir? Texas. The Republic of Texas. But pride that says you can do it. Listen to me, folks. That'll keep you farther away from God than anything in the world. The pride that says you can do it on your own, you don't really need God, you can get through this struggle, you can get through this trial. Folks, listen to me. Do not be a fool. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. But the fool also says in his heart, he doesn't need God. You think you can make it? You think you can do it? No, folks, listen to me. You need God for everything. You need God to just keep your lungs breathing. You can't make it. My strength in life is that I know absolutely that I'm an idiot. That Robert Richards, without the anointing of God, without the Holy Ghost, without what God has done in my life, I don't have an ounce of things to say to y'all this morning. I don't have anything to say. If the anointing of God leaves me, folks, I'm telling you what's going to get ugly. Going to get ugly really quick. I need God in everything. Every decision I make when I'm driving down the road, and everything I do in life, I have got to have Him with me. Because I know me and my temperament and the way that I am, I'll get something messed up. Pride, I don't have any place for my life for pride in that area. I have to have help. I am helpless as a baby in the middle of the desert without God. Watch it. Pride will get you. Pride will take you away. This guy, somehow or another, this blind man, I mean, I'm just feeling like that was probably one of the reasons he was dependent upon people to take him out every day. Couldn't see, didn't know where to get. He was dependent on people, so it changed the way he developed. But look at this. They said, how do your eyes open? And he answered them, I said, I've already told you. You didn't listen. This guy's getting pretty bossy with the religious people. Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't know where he's from. And the man answered and said, listen to this. Why, this is a marvelous thing that you don't know where he's from. Yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they completely said to him, and they answered and said to him, or were you completely born in sin and you're teaching us? And they cast him outside. I mean, did he just smack them down? I mean, he hit them with both barrels, but he was so true. He was right on target. He says, man, he's like, fools, don't you understand? I see. I can see. And you're telling me it's never even been known. And I can just tell you this. This is a good thing. So it has to have come from God. This is what I really want y'all to see this morning. It was in the man's heart. He didn't learn this. It was in his heart that God was good, God was great, God was a healer, that if good things are happening, it must be God moving, right? This man, though blind, had more sight for God than the Pharisees who were the learned people. Are y'all with me? Because the blind man had been seeing with his heart forever. Faith has eyes and can see. So when this man, here you go, was begging on the street or however, whatever he was earning his income from, he wasn't sitting around saying, man, I'm so mad at God. If God wouldn't have made me be born blind. That was the attitude of the disciples, right? The parents' sin that he was born blind. Or been sitting there saying, my mom and dad would have been sinning. I wouldn't have been born blind and mad about that. No, he was sitting there all whole time thinking, wow, this is God. You know, God is good and God is great and God is a healer. And someday something good's going to happen and someday something's going to break forth. And maybe he'd been in hope, but then all of a sudden he started developing into faith. And then all of a sudden, here's Jesus and woo! Today's my day. You see, he was seeing with his heart. Church, you got to be careful what goes into your heart. Because if your heart gets tainted and your heart gets full of pride or your heart gets injured or your heart gets down or your heart gets broken or your heart gets discouraged or your heart, folks, it will start to work in you. It'll start to mold you and start to create in you, and you're going to start to squash out this garbage that's going to take you out of faith, going to take you away from God, is going to cause you to be pharisaical or fall into one of these traps. Years ago, I was praying. And I was just earnestly just praying, seeking the Lord. And I said, Lord, 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 give me a word. Give me a scripture. Give me a foundational scripture for my life. Give me something that I can hang on to that I can always walk with. And he said, sure, Matthew 6:22. Matthew 6:22. I didn't know the Bible real well then. Man, I'm digging. Matthew 6:22. Says, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And I said, okay. I was looking for one like, go forth, mighty man of God with a sword to, the northern cities or something, Looking for a little direction here, Lord. And the Holy Spirit just spoke back to me. He says, Robert, if you'll stay focused, you'll always make it. If you get your eyes off, you get in bitterness, you get in exactly what I just said to y'all. You're going to miss me. And that's the worst tragedy you can have. And I was like, wow. So Matthew 6:22 has always been my scripture. And I always pray it like this. I say, God, I just want to keep my eyes single. I want to keep my eye focused upon you. Because I don't want to miss you. I don't want to get over here. I don't want to get mad about this situation or twisted about this thing or twisted over here about this thing. And then I get off and I'm missing you, Lord. I want you to lead me. You've got to lead me. I've got to follow you. You know how in the movies, you're watching an old Western, and there's a bunch of horses and there's a bank robbery or whatever, and the posse's chasing them, and then they, come up to a place and they all split up and go different directions, and there's always the tracker, right, who gets off and looks around at the ground and said, well, we got three went this way and three went that way, but the three that went this way, their horses were heavier. You can see their footprints are, their hoof print went deeper into the ground, and, these are the guys that's got the loop. You want to go this way. I mean, that guy's sharp, right? Everybody else is just still looking around. You ever notice in the movies, like, everybody else must be, not as bright because they're just sitting on there looking around. But this guy's got it all figured out. There's only one of 20 that had any sense. I think they were better than that. But anyway, always think it's funny. So the tracker figures out where they went. Folks, listen to me. In my life, I've got to have the tracker of the Holy Ghost on me all the time. I get up into those places in life and things start, the water starts to get muddy and the water starts to get, because there's things going on and things happen in life and you can't really see clearly and you have to believe what you're going to, that the Holy Ghost is following you through, or the fog is thick and you've got to believe God that he's going to get you through it and you're just he's ordering your steps and preparing your ways. You've got to live this life of faith, folks, that is active faith, that's alive faith, that's brewing out from the inside of you, and your heart is just beating and pounding for it. And you're just like the blind man, that your whole world is open up to you, and it's like, wow. In this world, we'll have tribulation, but I'm of good cheer because, Jesus, you overcame the world. Wow. If you could just rip the veil back and see how powerful God is and what all there is, it'd change everything in your life because all you've seen is the bad. Like the blind man. All you've seen is what you could imagine. But there's another world out there called faith. There's another world about all the promises of God that's come alive in your life. It's time for all of us as Christians to fall on our faces and really seek God. Get out of this. Listen to me. I'm gonna shock you for a minute, okay? If you're faithful Christian prayer and you have prayed everything the same, you've woke up every morning and you have your routine of the way you pray and the way you operate with God and the way you do things with God, and you've been doing that, stop. Please quit. Because you've probably dug you a rut so deep right now, you're nothing but a grave with both ends kicked out. You're just doing routine. You're just rote. You're just going through the same old motions. You're just saying the same old prayers. And it probably doesn't mean as much to you now as the day it was first uttered from your lips. Why don't you start praying, asking the Holy Ghost to bring revival in your life? Bring something new. Do something different. Go pray in a tree. You say, I like the way I pray. Yeah, because it's comfortable to you. As Christians, we get comfortable. What happens when you get comfortable? What else happens to you when you get comfortable? Who said that? You go to sleep. When you get comfortable, you go to sleep. That's what happens to you. Oh, come on, guys. You just got through eating lunch and you have to drive your truck somewhere and it's a hot day and it's getting kind of warm in that truck and for a long time, drool's coming out both sides of your mouth. You just get comfortable, and you're going to go to sleep. As you've gotten comfortable in your Christianity, walking the same thing, doing the same thing over and over and over again, if it's not alive to you, if Jesus is not speaking to you every day, if you're not having some sort of a living relationship that He's leaping off the page of the Scripture to, He's talking to you, it's alive. When you pray, you hear God say, that's good. If you pray and you feel like you're just talking to the rock, well, then it's time to change. It's time to believe God for Holy Ghost revival in your life and say, Lord, there's this world out there I want to see. I want my eyes to be open like the blind man. I want to see colors. I want to see what the shapes of things look like for the very first time. Remember? He had felt bread, but he never saw bread. He had eaten bread, but he tasted it, but he never knew what it was like. There could have been a loaf of bread sitting in front of him. At least he smelled it. He would have never known what it was. And I'm telling you, God's got some great, great, amazing things for y'all. But unless you get into the eyes of faith, you're not even going to recognize it. You're not even going to recognize that God is trying to move in your life. Listen to me. God is for you. He is not against you. God is a great God. He is not a bad God. God is not punishing you. He doesn't operate like that. God is a God of faith. God is a God of love. He wants us to rise up. He wants us to stand up. He wants us to trust Him and believe in Him when we can't even see how it's going. I'm telling you, if you feel like your car has gone off the cliff, well, then just keep praising God and worship Him because you ain't hit the ground yet. And there may just be a Holy Ghost parachute that just leaped out of your back you didn't even know about. Or you might just know that you could fly and you didn't know it. Or maybe you have the great ability to bounce. I'll end at this story because I want to go into this a little bit more, because you can go into Hebrews chapter 11 and you look at all the people. And I'll just give you a tidbit. Did you know that Abraham, God told him he was going to be the father of many nations? But he died on this earth having one son. He never saw his grandchildren. That's all he had. All he got to see physically was his one son. He didn't get to see his grandkids. Yet God said, you're going to be the father of many nations. But Hebrews 11 says, Abraham went to his grave because he counted God faithful, who'd promised. He went to his grave never seeing exactly all the manifestation that he had been believing for. But you can sit out there and look at it today. All of the Middle East came from Abraham. It got there. Just didn't get there when he thought it was. Okay? I was going to tell you a story and I forgot it. What was the last story I was going to tell? What was it talking about? Maybe it's time to quit. It was a good one, too. Dadgum. Oh, well. It's time to eat. Hmm. Well, that's showing my age. It's gone. I checked the file. It's empty. If I remember it, I'll put it in for next week. Huh? That's what I checked it. It's empty. It's literally completely gone. Wow. Number 47, that was it. My son got the word. That was enough. Y'all remember that story, number 47? All right, stand to your feet. Church, I tried to encourage you this morning. The veil could have been lifted for you. But listen, ultimately, it's all your choice. I'm just telling you, do not let this world beat you down. Do not walk out of here letting a veil be put over your heart and your eyes. Don't be blind. Be seeing. Be full of faith. God is a great God. No matter what happens, folks, I'm telling you, God is a great God. God is a good God. God is in charge. He's on top. Get it coming out of your mouth. Get it going every day. Keep your focus where it needs to be. All right? It's nobody. I'm subject to the weight of the world like all of y'all are, too. I can read the headlines of the newspaper and just say it's not even worth messing with anymore. But then I can go get my Bible out and read it and say, oh, look at what you can do, Lord. Look at the great thing. Look, that's a good fight here. There's something great here. This, you know, wow, this is going to be good. You're going to make, whoo, come on, Jesus. Can see you. Y'all with me? So look in your hearts. Examine your hearts. Let the Holy Ghost examine your hearts. If you've gone through a rough spell in life, you need to be healed. Jesus is the answer. If you've grown dry, you're not excited about the Word, you're not excited about church, you're not excited about the things of God, listen, you need a breath of fresh air in your life. You don't need to get saved again. You just need the Holy Ghost to blow in your life. Get some fresh air. See something real. See a miracle. See something take place. It just so blows your mind. And you say, God, you're so awesome. You're so awesome. So let's just pray. Father, right now, I just set my agreement with all of these here in church, all those watching by video or listening by audio. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you are today stirring in our lives and activating our faith. Lord, as we yearn for you, as we look to you, Lord, you just open up a whole new world for us. You just see great things happening. Because God, you're an amazing God. We don't want to lose sight. We don't want to lose focus. And Lord, the distractions of this life and the problems of this life and the events and the things that come about, they get us sidetracked. And Lord, we don't want to stay focused on those problems. We want to focus on you. We want our eye to be single and our body full of light, because we're going to be focused on you, Jesus. So right now, I declare in Jesus' name, all those people listen to me that have a heart for Jesus, that, Lord, there's just a fresh breath of God blows in their life today. Just a fresh breath of life blows into them. And any place in their life where discouragement or despair set in, that it's broken right now in Jesus' name. And that, Lord, they leave today saying, we serve a great God who can do anything. So, Lord, we just give you praise for it. Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. Now, before I dismiss this service, I want to ask the prayer team to come down here because I want to give you opportunity today. If you need prayer, you want more prayer, so just if my prayer team people can come down, pastoral team, whoever's there this morning. And I just want you to know, church, that whatever's going through, whatever you're going through, and if you want prayer, they're here to pray with you. I believe in a God of miracles. I believe in a God of signs and wonders. I believe there's a God that can touch your life and change your heart. But if you're in here today, and listen to me, you've been looking in your heart, and you don't really know if you're saved. You don't really know if Jesus is the Lord of your life. You don't really know what's going on. You just came to church just to come to church. Listen to me. I'm here today to tell you, quit messing around. Quit playing around. Get serious and get hold of Jesus. Quit waiting for the right time. Quit waiting for the this or that. If you know you're not right with God, then get right with God. It's real simple. Just got to ask Him. It's real simple. You just got to ask Him. And so we're here to pray with you. That's you today. We're up here to pray to get serious. Come on up here. Let the Holy Ghost touch you. Amen. So take that person's hand beside you. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the people. I thank you that we've been strengthened and blessed and encouraged. I ask you, Lord, to just bless all the food, bless all of our fellowship. Let us just continue to have a great day of just rejoicing with you and rejoicing with one another. And God, I declare you are a great God. You have great things planned for these awesome people. And Lord, I just thank you for your hand being upon us now and blessing them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you, church. We're down here if you need prayer.